This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
This is your tech news briefing for Friday, March 5th. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. During the pandemic, federal agencies and security experts have warned of a wave of cyber attacks targeting healthcare providers. The uptick in these kinds of attacks has disrupted care and cost hospitals millions of dollars amid an already massive health crisis. But why target hospitals? And what are hospitals doing in response? Our reporter Melanie Evans will help us answer those questions after these headlines. We report exclusively that General Motors and its partner LG Chem are close to a decision to build a battery plant in Tennessee, according to people familiar with the matter. It would be the company's second such plant in the U.S., as they're already building one in Ohio that's set to open next year. GM and other automakers are stepping up investments in electric vehicles, and some are getting into the business of making their own battery cells, often through these kinds of joint ventures with big battery makers. The UK's antitrust regulator said yesterday that it's investigating Apple over concerns surrounding the company's App Store. Regulators will be looking into app developers' complaints about some of Apple's terms, including the commissions it takes on in-app payments. The initial investigation will take place through September, and no decision has been made yet about whether the company broke any laws. Apple defended its practices yesterday and said it would work with the UK's regulators. And Jack Dorsey's other company, Square, is buying a majority stake in Jay-Z's music and entertainment platform, Tidal. Square will pay $297 million in cash and stock, and Jay-Z will join Square's board as part of the deal. At first glance, it might not seem like a fintech company and a music streaming company have a lot in common. But Dorsey said in a tweet that they plan to apply Square's payments technology to Tidal, doing things like integrating merchandise sales and hosting collaboration tools. The idea is to provide better tools for artists, including new ways for them to make money. All right, coming up after the break, hackers have been increasingly targeting hospitals. We'll have more on that and the impact it has on healthcare providers next.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
Hospitals are under a lot of strain during the pandemic, and not just when it comes to providing critical care. We report that hospital systems have also become popular targets for cyber attacks, in particular, a kind of malware attack known as ransomware. For more on this trend and how it could impact healthcare systems, we turn to our hospitals reporter, Melanie Evans. Hey, Melanie, thanks for joining me.
Hi, Amanda. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so let's talk about these ransomware attacks. What exactly have we been seeing?
So if you're not familiar with ransomware, what it is the hacker gets into a system and locks users out of their data. And in this case, it locks doctors out of medical records and imaging scans so that they can sort of see what's going on with a patient. And what the hackers do is then say, if you want your data back, pay us a ransom. And hospitals have to decide whether they pay the ransom or whether they try to rebuild their systems and figure it out on their own. It's extremely disruptive. Often ambulances are diverted, some surgeries are postponed. Hospitals have gotten increasingly good at operating through, to the degree that they can, through an attack. But we saw in the fall, one of the nation's largest hospital systems get hit with one of these attacks. And for about 3 weeks, they were trying to restore their systems.
Yeah, and let's go a little bit deeper on that attack. We reported in the fall that Universal Health Services, one of the biggest hospital chains in the U.S., was hit with some malicious software. What happened there, and how does that illustrate the sort of impacts of these attacks for hospitals?
So Universal Health Services immediate response was to shut down their networks, so all of their electronic health records, across 250 facilities across the United States. And what followed was an effort to kind of restore all of those services. What the chief financial officer said was it happened on a sort of a rolling basis for several weeks. And during that time, he told investors in the company, it's a large publicly traded company, he said, during that time, we saw ambulances just take patients somewhere else so they could avoid that kind of manual process of registering a patient. And surgeons sent patients somewhere else for the same reason. And so they really saw enough of a decline in sort of what would be considered the care that they provide that it helped lower their revenue. And along with those additional expenses, they basically came forward and said, okay, it was $67 million. There was another hospital in Oregon. Now, this is just one hospital. Their CEO had a rough estimate for the cost of an attack that they experienced in late October. It was $10 million. So there's a real financial hit that comes from lost revenue because they can't take care of as many patients as they might have otherwise. And then also just the cost of restoring their systems and hiring people to do sort of additional forensic security work. But in addition to that, because it occurred as the pandemic was really surging in the United States, this hospital, their doctors and nurses and respiratory therapists, everybody were using paper to record this really, really critical patient information at a time when the state saw its COVID cases and the hospital just saw COVID cases and hospitalizations surging. So that they were dealing with the real extreme burden and anxiety of the pandemic. And then on top of it, they were using paper and pencil to sort of take information and move it around, which is just added to the stress and anxiety.
And just to be clear, the sort of costs that you mentioned, that's restoring services, it's dealing with the fallout. Is that also paying a ransom?
In these instances, both said they did not pay ransom. So that is a question that anyone who's on the receiving end of a ransomware attack has to decide, will they pay or not? In this case, they didn't. So those costs didn't include any kind of payout to the hackers.
Got it. So it sounds like these kinds of attacks are really disruptive and really expensive. Why are hackers targeting hospitals? Why have healthcare systems become such a popular target?
When I spoke with security experts, what they said was hospitals understandably want to get their systems back online as quickly as possible. It is a real source of pressure, and that means that hackers see hospitals as a possible source of a quick payout, right? If hospitals are really willing to pay to get their systems back online quickly, then they become a target. Hospitals are also, they've lagged a lot of other industries in moving to computerized records. It sounds kind of odd, but financial services and retail were sort of much farther along than hospitals. And so hospitals have been rapidly playing catch up with computerized and digital records. They have multiple devices now that are all connected to the internet, streaming data all over the place, and it just makes them very vulnerable. So they are also considered something of a target for that reason.
So, Melanie, it seems like this is something that hospital systems are going to have to think about a lot more moving into the future. How are they approaching that possibility?
So, absolutely, hospitals recognize that they are targets, that they need to prepare not only to sort of defend against attacks, but prepare to minimize disruption when an attack occurs. The landscape of kind of cybersecurity in healthcare is probably only going to get more complicated because hospitals are these growing repositories of data built on all of these connected devices that ideally would help improve medical care for patients and generate new data that will help with new discoveries, like drug discoveries and, you know, maybe better understanding of patient conditions. I mean, there's just a wealth of data that is now available that just didn't exist a decade ago. But the industry also has quite a bit of work to do to sort of ensure that they have built sufficient defenses, that as some of these legacy devices get old and are no longer supported through software patches that keep them secure against hacks, that hospitals have to sort of reconfigure their own defenses in order to protect those devices or replace them. I mean, it's a pretty continual effort and one that hospitals are getting sort of increasingly sophisticated at when it comes to even just like what devices are they going to buy from whom and how much information do they have about how defensible those devices are. It's extremely interesting and it will just continue to sort of get more complex.
All right. That's our reporter, Melanie Evans. Thanks, Melanie.
Thanks so much.
That's it for Tech News Briefing this week. Our supervising producer is Chris Zinsley. Our executive producer is Kateri Yoakum. And I'm your host, Amanda Llewellyn. Have a great weekend, and thanks for listening.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.